Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, so there you have it from the update, Ian Rappaport. Sal Capaccio joins me now here on the West Shore Hotline. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Mike.
Everything's ironed out except testing protocol and how many preseason games there will be. Everything else?
Yeah.
I guess there probably is a lot, but it just seems kind of funny because these are, I think, big areas. And also finances.
Yeah. Opt-outs. That's another one they haven't really gotten through yet. So there's a lot to be done here. And look, I mean, we go back just a few months ago when it seemed like football had time on their side and, you know, they weren't fighting the way that baseball was. But everybody kind of knew that as this thing got closer, that that could be the possibility. And it seems like we're at that happening now, which is football seems to be kind of in that spot where baseball was for a little while. It's not quite as cantankerous, but it seems like they just can't agree on really what needs to be done here.
And we did have in there too, I think, that now we are hearing masks will be required everywhere in the league, in crowds. And Sal, and we've talked about this a few times this week, I was thinking today and talking earlier about the greatness of the sports crowd, of a great sports crowd. Just how much it's worth to the experience when you're at a game and it's crowded and it's an important game and everybody around you is like unified with you and you're a part of something like that. It's really hard for me to think what this year at best will be can measure up at all to that. You know, like the way at a crowd in a great crowd for an important game, the way you'll talk to the people around you about the game and interact with them. You better really like the person you're with if we do get to go to these games this year, because I think you're kind of stuck talking to them only.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I have a unique perspective from the sidelines, obviously, on the crowd noise and how it impacts the game. And I know you're talking about like the social interaction even more so, you know, in the crowd and, you know, what's going on and what's happening. But from an actual, like, how the crowd can impact a game from that standpoint, how it can impact the players and things like that, I've seen it in all different ways. From the really loud, boisterous, oh my God, this is incredibly loud in here, look at this, it's, you know, really impacting the offense trying to call their plays, to boy, you know, it's like church in here, right? The crowd isn't into it. You know, that's the way it was maybe in Minnesota when the Bills went there and really beat the Vikings really early on when no one expected them to do it. It was super, super duper quiet in that place, you know. But I've been in New Era Field, obviously, on the sidelines, especially the last couple of years when it's just gotten super loud at different points and it's completely affected the game. You know, one of the places I think about this for is Tennessee last year. And we've talked about how, you know, Bills fans overran that city and that stadium. And Mike, you know, I think back to when I rewatched the game recently and did it for my podcast, the Titans had a false start on the second play of the game because they couldn't hear their own signals in a home game. Like, the crowd was that much into it on the Bills side, the Bills fans that were there. That's how much the crowd impacted the game.
Like when the Leafs play here or something.
Right.
Do you, now you are on the sideline, and that gives you at the same time, I think, a greater perspective on this, having been to so many more places, but also maybe a different one, not that it would be lacking, but you're not like sitting in the crowd, you know, you're doing your job. But of course, you've been to many games as a fan over your years. So Can you think of a couple of games or crowds that like stand out as the most excellent? Like, I'm thinking about the 06 Sabres and just how much the crowd meant to my enjoyment of that run. You know, like the people around me and the noises and the way, like, everybody seemed to be there for the game. That's the best.
Yeah, I got a couple of them. Number one is also, to me, the greatest game in Bills history. It's 51-3. And I say that because of what it represented to the franchise at the moment, going to their first Super Bowl. But, Mike, you know, it was, as you know, you and I, you're a year older than me. You were in college. You're a freshman in college, right, at that time? Mm-hmm. I believe that's your mm-hmm. first year in college. And I'm a senior in high school. And I'm at the game, and it's 41-3 at halftime. And you knew the Bills were going to the Super Bowl. And the entire second half was just people loving on each other because of it. That's all it was. And people loving on the Bills and thinking about the Super Bowl and thinking about, you know, Giants or Niners, who's going to play in the second, you know, who are they going to play? They got to play a little bit in the second game that day. And I remember, I can still hear it in my head, the chants. There were three chants that came throughout that stadium in the second half. Thank you, Bills. Thank you, Bills. That was one. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Ralph. That was another. And Super Bowl. Super Bowl. It was amazing. It was an incredible experience that everyone was just there. And it wasn't like you were playing the Steelers where they have this really traveling fan base. Now, look, the Raiders travel well, but they weren't even Oakland at the time. They were L.A. and, you know, the West Coast team. So it was really just a big party there. That's number one. The other one, I'll tell you, was I was at the only time I ever went to Old Yankee Stadium, Mike, was the Subway Series. I was at the game where Roger Clemens threw the bat at Mike Piazza. That was the only game I ever went to. And the reason is I have a friend, my college roommate, worked in the Mets organization. He still does. He's pretty high up now, actually, in the Mets organization. At the time, he was working his way up. But anyway, I happened to be in New York at the time. We were there for a wedding. I got tickets through him, went to the game. But I remember that crowd of, oh my God, it was a World Series game. And, you know, baseball, to me, whenever I'd gone to baseball games, even now, you go for the relaxing atmosphere sometimes. There's a lot going on in the stands. You're looking around, the peanuts, the hot dogs, the Cracker Jack, all that kind of stuff. Everyone was dialed into this game, Mike. It was incredible. All of Yankee Stadium was hanging on every single pitch. It was amazing.
Yeah, I don't have a World Series game in my book. I mean, I've been to lots of baseball games, but they're all kind of the same. The sizes of the crowd vary, but mm-hmm. it's just not that important. You know, it's one baseball game.
Right.
It's important to me to go to it so I can be at a baseball game and maybe check a new stadium off. But yep. it's not at all like an NFL game, or, you know, I should say a Bills game, because maybe in some cities NFL games are not like this either, but where it's super intense. And I really want that. I mean, I want that intensity at a game. You know, I want that if the game deserves it, you know. But a game at PNC Park, as beautiful as it is, it's just more of a, you know, like a outdoor, it's like a picnic or something. It's not intense.
I agree with you. You know, and that's why I go to games a lot of times. You know, I remember going to see the Nationals play. We just happened to, you know, the Bills were playing the Redskins in a preseason game. So myself and John Scott from Spectrum, maybe a couple other people, I don't remember for sure, but we said, hey, let's go check out baseball games, see the stadium. They played the Orioles, but Scherzer was pitching, so it was cool. But that's why I go to games sometimes. You know, I remember my brother, he got his master's degree at San Diego State University back in the 90s, went out there when that was happening, and happened to, I wanted to go to a baseball game, see the Padres. Braves were in town for a series, so I waited till Maddox pitched. Went to a game to see that, and that was the reason I went to the game. Saw Kenny Lofton hit an inside the park home run in that game, by the way, which
all
was
right.
Pretty cool. I remember that. Yeah, that was cool. You know what I think about for this, which is kind of interesting, because I heard your discussion earlier on it today, and you just brought up 06-07 Sabres. Now, I was still living in Florida. I did not go to really any games in Buffalo over that time. If they were in Florida, I went down to the Panthers or the Lightning. I went to see the Sabres. But, Mike, I remember games like that at the odd. At the odd for me, John Tucker in overtime against the Bruins in the playoffs, right? I mean, like, that was, to me, one of the loudest arenas I had ever been. And, of course, you were just enclosed in this barn at the odd, right? It was just amazing. And I remember games like that at the odd and how loud it would get.
I'm sure it compares, and I have been to a few of those games, a couple. I was at a Sabres-Bruins playoff game in probably 92, that series that the Bruins won in seven games. But maybe this is just too nitpicky. Some of those games and series were games where the Sabres were behind. Like, that Bruins series, or the one I went to, or a Montreal one, I think there might have been a little bit of a reluctance in the air because, like, they might have expected the Sabres to lose, or the Sabres to lose the series. That's one thing about, well, what you're talking about from 51-3, that was the release of all of that.
That's right.
And, you know, the Bills and the Sabres in 2006 sort of convinced everybody bit by bit that they can be believed in, you know, like that this is a winning team. This is, I mean, I felt like 2006, and this surprises me because I was older then, and usually when you're younger is when you're more, I think you're more susceptible to it, but the 06 thing was so strong because it really, it was believable. Like that team was believable, and they really, I think, should have won. But
Mike, have you ever been, have you, you've been to the NCAA tournament, right? Actual games? So, you know, it's funny because the NCAA tournament is like that in a sense where the intensity, because especially in a close game, the team's season is on the line. You know how much they put into it and all of that. And I've been to every round of the NCAA tournament, probably multiple times each round. I've been on press row. I've been in the stands. I've been to Syracuse games. I went to the national championship. Syracuse beat Kansas in the Superdome in 03. I've been to all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, it's like that when you're in the moment and you're thinking about it and like, wow, this is intense. But because it's the tournament and it's at a neutral site, you don't get that partisan crowd feel. And even a lot of times you don't even get a half and half crowd because there might be more than one team represented in that night. Or there's just a lot of corporate because it's the Final Four or whatever. So I think, you know, that would be conducive to have that and how intense that really is. And you can feel it, but the crowd, it just doesn't quite live up to that for me. And I wish, you know, maybe if you had a home game in that regard, you know, for a team in that situation, you'd feel it. But I just think about it in those terms because the game itself can be super intense. And if you're rooting for one team or the other, it can be like that. It's one and done. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. You know, Dayton comes to Syracuse and beats them in Buffalo. I remember thinking near the end of that game, wow, Syracuse might lose this. It was super intense. But, I think about all the other people in the crowd who really kind of don't care about the result, you know?
Yeah, the crowd, it only gets to like half pitch because so many of the fans there don't care. And I've been that fan in NCAA tournament crowds before, and I love it. I bet going to the Carrier Dome in, I think, 91 for four first-round games in one day, and there were a couple of upsets that day, and you're just sort of like, you know, you're kicking back, your bottom lip is up over your top lip, you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. All right, Eastern Michigan, let's go. But it's
Nick Van Exel was at the, they played, what was that? Who did he play for?
Cincinnati,
right? Cincinnati played there. Yep.
I mean, that kind of thing is fun, but it is different, as you say. I went to game three of the NBA Finals in Cleveland when the Warriors won in 17. Durant scored like the last 9 points. And that crowd was intense, but it had better be. I mean, in that situation, like anything else would have stood out. Like that has to be intense. Well, the point is that for football this year, we're just not going to have this. Like we're going to have games, hopefully, but we're not going to have this crowd piece. And like, what would you say, if I haven't asked you this directly, if you were a season ticket holder to this team this year, would you be hanging in there hoping to get to games so that you could wear a mask and sit far apart from everybody else and be in what would feel like an empty stadium? Or do you think you might want to just pass?
Mike, I've wrestled with it. I really don't know. I've thought about it. And I can't give you a clear answer because I've put myself in both positions and said, you know, I think that I might just say I'm just not going to do it. But at the same time, I think that going to the game would in some way represent some sort of normal for me. So I might want to do that. But if you're going to tell me that's only going to be 25%, like I think there's a guilt factor, too, that comes in, like, should I be here kind of thing that I would be thinking about. I'm not really sure. Even for my own job, it's a weird thing to think about. Like, I said this to my wife the other night, and I don't know if this is the right thing to say or the wrong thing to say. Or like, if you could promise me right now that we could just pick up next year right where we are and everything is back to normal. We just miss all of sports, all football and all of the rest of baseball, basketball, like especially football, though. Let's just say football because that's what I do. If you can guarantee my job, guarantee the broadcasts are going to be the same, everybody's going to be the same, just like it's been for the last whatever many years, I think I might take that because I'm just so tired of thinking about all of the ways in which we have to navigate through this, to be honest with you. I don't know. Because that, to me, that's where the conversation is now. It's not about what's going on in the field, which, you know, it can be. We can try and make that happen. It's more about how this is going to look. And it's become very tiring to think about that.
Yeah, it is. That's right. You might be able to yell to the quarterback when a receiver is open and actually have him hear you. I wonder, like, they're not going to have those low seats available, right? They're going to use those for ads.
Yes, the bottom 6 to 8 rows, basically. People, you know, the Bills actually already have a few rows tarped off down near the bottom. They started doing that a few years ago because there were season ticket holders that couldn't really kind of see the way that the stadium is designed. They started doing that, but now it's going to. I think it might be only 2 or 3, but now it's going to be 6 to 8, basically, in all stadiums.
The Bills have that red wall around. It's still red, mm-hmm. isn't it? Around the field.
It is red. It has been blue.
It was light
blue. It's been different colors.
In the beginning days of the stadium, it was light blue. That's what I was going to bring up here, that I watched some highlights from their first year in the stadium, and I thought it looked pretty good, that light blue.
Yeah, you know, the stadium itself is aesthetically very nice looking. I think even though it is 47 years old, and the pricing power, and, you know, down the road, you got to think about getting a new stadium and all this kind of stuff, which I understand that. And there's a lot of challenges that go along with this stadium. But aesthetically, I still think that stadium looks great. When you turn on any game on a Sunday, especially to me, an afternoon in Orchard Park in September or October, I think that stadium looks phenomenal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it does. I agree. I always want it to be grass. I always think it would look better, but, you know, I'm just one guy saying that. But in the right light, especially like late afternoon sunlight, really, really beautiful. Okay, any questions for me today, Sal? What do you got planned this weekend?
This weekend, well, I'm supposed to play golf tomorrow in a scramble for a benefit out in Rochester. It's going to probably be dodging some raindrops, so, you know, hoping to get that in tomorrow.
Where can I ask you that?
What's that?
Can I ask you where? I just miss all those courses there, so I want to know.
It's at Victor Hills.
And I don't know that one. So, okay. Sorry. Whoops.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You know, I think I did play one of the Victor courses. I think they have 3 nines there. I don't know which one. A few years ago when we were out there for training camp, I think I did that. You know, Sunday, so Max actually starts baseball, Little League. One of the Little Leagues is... There are a few Little Leagues probably doing it, but we were able to, his Little League was canceled. I was able to sign him up for another one that's actually starting, and then Sunday they'll have practice. There's some protocols and things like that. So, you know, I'm excited about that this weekend, that he's finally getting a chance this summer to have some baseball. That'll be cool.
Right. My kids are on the same team. My daughter's on another team too, but they are on one house team that practices tomorrow morning.
I do have a... I don't know if you know this, but today is the anniversary of the groundbreaking of Salem Field, which was then Pilot Field at the time, back in 1986.
Okay.
I saw a tweet from Mike Butchkowski. He quote tweeted Buffalo Sports History account, basically. Do you have a favorite fond memory from that stadium for as far as baseball is concerned, not like some sort of event or concert?
A favorite. Let's see. I have lots of them.
Yeah.
I think it might be the AAA All-Star game that first year or the second year.
Yeah.
Greg Jeffries.
Yeah.
And going to that, I was at the game where they won the title, the last time they won the title, in maybe 04. Those are probably it. I threw out the first pitch. I remember doing that. We also had a thing where we had to hit off a tee, and I swung and kind of like just missed the ball. And my son, who was like 2 or 3, is like, "Daddy, hit the tee! Daddy, hit the tee!" I'm like, "Shh, all right, it's bad enough. I'll mention it on the air, okay?" So I have a lot of them, yeah.
I have one. It's the only time I ever caught an actual foul ball at a real baseball game in the stands. I was at a game there when I was a senior in high school. Sitting along the first baseline, it came down, and I reached up, grabbed it. And at that same game, I saw a bench clearing brawl, and what would make it, now that's like, wow, cool, but right, you know, whatever you think about that. But what made it interesting was the person who started the brawl was Bobby Meacham, who was just there. Yep. I shouldn't say started, like he was like the first one involved with the catcher. It was Bobby Meacham and the catcher went at it at home plate, and then everybody came out and poured out of the dugouts, and I remember that very vividly.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think I've ever, I'm not sure I've ever been at a brawl in baseball, at least. Very good. Well, hope you get your game in tomorrow. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Sal Capaccio joining us. His visits brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. What's your outlet? I'm really asking. What is it? I'll just sit here and wait for your answers. Joe, have you yourself a favorite memory of the baseball stadium in Buffalo? You've been there.
I've only been there once.
That's it then.
Yeah, that's it.
That is your favorite
memory
of it.
It would be my one of my best friends from middle school hanging over the rail demanding a ball from the Bison's bench.
Oh, I love that. I love demanding a ball. That's class right
and
there.
And just knowing full well that that's not the way to do it.
No.
Obviously.
No,
but
it is.
Laughing along, yeah.
It is the way to do it.
Yeah.
When they had the 30-year anniversary, I think it would have been this, two years ago. No, it's longer ago than that. Maybe 25. 25th anniversary of the ballpark. They wanted one person who was born in each year of the 25 years throw out the first pitch of the season collectively. And my son, we were chosen for that, 2009. So he would have been, I don't know, three on the field across from me, throws the ball. Before that, we're lined up. Your story reminded me of this. We're lined up behind like the plate. Guys are taking batting practice or whatever. We're waiting. The game, this is after batting practice. The game's almost ready to start. They're almost ready to send us out to the field to throw the first pitches. And the manager of the Yankee affiliate. The manager of the Yankee affiliate is standing there and another coach, and they're talking. And my son is standing like across from them looking at them. And I just let this happen. And the manager says, "Hello. Yes, can I help you," or something, to my son. And he says, "Can I have a bat?" And I'm like, "Not even a ball, Julius? Can I have a bat?" So the two guys laughed, and the coach said, "Let me see if I can get you a ball." And they did, and he thanked them. But that was just pretty brazen, you know?
Especially going straight for the bat.
Not even a please. We've worked on that. We're a lot better at that now.
The please is...
Right for the bat.
Yeah. Well, that's how you negotiate, because then then they
be
compromise
afraid.
With a ball. If you ask for a ball, they're not going to give you anything.
They're going to give him a piece of gum.
Right.
That's
you
right.
Ask for a bat, you ask for a mitt, then you're getting the ball.
Can I have a bat?
Yeah.
Harry Skull from the paper took a picture of like my son and the manager talking to each other, and it was in the paper. I love it. One of my favorites. Okay, we'll take a break, get you the update. Joe and I are going to do some fantasy... next hour, if not sooner. Sometimes we can't wait. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today, and this is WGR.
In order to return to play, it's not just...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Being cleared from the virus, but you have to go through a cardio screen to be eligible to be cleared to practice. And that's because there have been some noted cardiac symptoms, I should say, associated with the disease. And so one of the things that's required is the player has to go through a full cardiac screen consultation with a cardiologist before they can be cleared to return to play. So I think something like that just reflects seriousness with which everyone who's involved in putting this together is taking this disease.
Stefania Bell, ESPN on One Bills Live. Is she talking NBA? Is that where she's talking about the cardio test?
Yep.
Okay. I'm a Stefania Bell fan. Would you say you're in better physical condition than you were before the quarantine? Or the same or worse?
Probably pretty similar. I'm not running as much. I was a gym runner. I like a controlled environment. So I'm still doing that a little bit, but not to the extent I was before. But I feel like I'm eating better. So maybe it evens out.
Yeah. All right. Do you weigh yourself every day or just about?
No, I used to do that every day. And then, I don't know, water weight, you know, it changes. Like you can't.
Changes a little.
It changes a little bit. Over a longer period of time, I feel like it could change. But no, not recently.
I would say the same about me. Generally the same, not better. I feel like I've wasted an opportunity here to get. For a while, I was doing well, and then I just plateaued.
Yeah.
Or at least I could change it again, right?
Yeah. My cardio level was definitely higher. My eating habits were definitely worse. And that's not just running. I mean, I was playing hockey twice a week, and that's just gone. And that is trying to restart, but I am incredibly uncomfortable getting back into that right now. So I don't think that that's going to be happening for me. But, yeah, so cardio level's lower, but I'm definitely eating better.
You're getting your workout, though, on Twitter with another round of,
it's
of
not,
controversy.
It's not quite Aikman or there was an Oilers thing last year, but
what yeah. What are you up to?
I'm not up to – this is from a couple of days ago. I just threw together – you know, a piece on all these terrible Jack. There's not all these. I mean, they're mostly blogs and they're social media accounts, but there's been a lot of bad Eichel trade scenarios I've seen thrown around from other markets. So I took a stab at kind of doing the same thing, but in the reverse. And today Boston got a hold of it.
Here is what we would need from you.
Sure.
That's what you're doing?
Well, I came from it at the mindset of I am someone that in fantasy football – to make a comparison here, and I know it's completely different, but I...
It's really not that different.
Yeah, I guess.
Don't worry about it.
I always am after other teams' best players. Always. I've probably made... Well, how many trades have I made attempts at Saquon Barkley have I made? Maybe a couple.
You might have made more trades than anyone in the league in 2+ years.
Yeah, and I'm always after someone's best player, and I recognize, and I understand that at this point, that when you're going after someone's best player... when especially they're not trying to trade them, how do you got to do it? You have to absolutely blow them away. Because otherwise, why would they even consider it? Like, you're not trading a guy that I have no interest in doing it for a second-round pick and someone's decent player. So I took a stab at that. Like, I understand fully that every trade I put into that article on our website, the other team would never do. But for me to think about trading that level of player, here's what I want. And
I love the Oilers one. So you listed this is a trade, if I have it right, these are trades I would take from these teams.
Yeah.
This is how you get me to say yes.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, you say, you know, Boston right Bruins, ... this guy, this guy, this guy. Chicago Blackhawks, this guy, this guy, this guy.
Those
Detroit
two teams,
Red Wings.
By the way, were on my don't have it list, but yeah.
Okay.
But sure,
I'm going alphabetically.
Yep.
Detroit Red Wings, this guy, this guy, this guy. Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid. Florida Panthers, this guy, this guy, this guy. You know, right.
Right.
Well,
if they offered Connor McDavid, I'd say yes. That's the exercise.
First of all, is that like, is your fantasy sports life like real sports? Maybe not, but it should be. That is how real sports should be.
But see.
Real sports is not like that. It's not enough like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean. This is for Jeremy to rant on, and it's offer sheets. You know, it's just it's one example, but it's a great example. They do not really mean it. They can't really say it when they say, which they say all the time, we want to do what's in the best interest of our team. They don't always want to do what's in the best interest of their team. They want to do what's in the best interest of their team while they are the general manager. And once the day comes when they are not the general manager, they don't have any interest left in what happens to the team. In fantasy, it's always yours. As the owner, it's always yours. As a GM, You're a temp. And you're not always going to want to trade for futures. You're going to eventually you're going to give up on that. And you're going to push and you're going to do something for the present. Or vice versa. Like you want to settle into the thing. I love this point. I think about like everybody who's come through here, including Sean McDermott. What do they want to get out of it? They want to last. That's what they want. McDermott, and this may sound cynical, and you know, in a personal way, it's going to be more than this. But what are you there for? You want to win, of course. How much time can I afford to have that take? How much time can I give that? The first year he runs the draft and he doesn't draft Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, if you're somebody that thinks those guys are supposed to know the future and you were supposed to know that Patrick Mahomes would be good, then I guess everybody else is in the league is at fault too because they didn't pick him either or they didn't trade for him either. And then it's Lamar Jackson the next year. Like they're wrong a lot and some of it I think is forgivable. I want to make sure I stay focused on the point. So his first year, he had the luxury of a year where he could get acclimated and go about his first year as a head coach and learn from it. And he happened to make the playoffs anyway, which is kind of extraordinary. They got crushed in point differential. They still made it. It was a lucky year, but he did it. And then he goes into the next year, and then it's a rookie quarterback. And what does that mean? Well, you got to give me some time. You got to, guys. Like the first year happened, he got the playoff makes it worth even extra. Then it's the second year, like, well, I mean, how soon am I supposed to be able to win now? I've got this guy. Well, that was your plan, but your choice. But okay, you know, you got this guy. So that's going to take a while. And in the third year, they do make the playoffs again. And it's overall, it's all to his credit. I mean, the record is good. But the point isn't the record as much as it is the blueprint. The plan is, you know, you want it, you want to last. If you end up, like, take Marone. So Marone was in his first NFL head coaching job here, and he was not the GM ever, right? Not for one day did he have that sort of responsibility or that power. But he benefited, I would say, some of this, what I'm saying now, it just seems like I'm saying it like as blunt statements, and there is a lot of nuance in it. But I would say, like, so the Bills organization has been kind of hapless over the previous 15 years or whatever it is before Marone. And he got them to 9-7. You know, he got them to a place where they were a little better. And he quit. And he thought he would get another job. And he did. He didn't get it right away like he maybe expected, but he did. Like what he accomplished in Buffalo was not the playoffs, but it was enough to keep him going in the league. You know, it's your one life. It's your one shot at this career. And so you want to last. Anyway, I don't know. I always like getting into that. And I guess I might have pushed the door down to do that here because this isn't like what you do with Jack Eichel. Now they'll have another new general manager. Under the same ownership will decide what they do with Jack Eichel. If the Pegulas want to trade Jack Eichel to get out from his money, or they somehow think that's a good hockey move, they will. I mean, it won't be Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams will have to vouch for it, but it'll be the owners who decide that, just as it is when the owners decide to pay him, right? Didn't we find out from this that Botterill didn't want to pay him the contract that he got? Didn't we find that out? Wasn't that reported?
Yeah, Elliot Friedman had that. Yep.
You take it, because I've sort of went a little bit diagonally from you there, but it's not like always what's in the best interest of the team. It's what's in the best interest of the team while you're there. Murray played things as if he wasn't going to be here for very long, and he wasn't. He sort of executed that. I'm not going to be here for very long, so let's trade all these picks and get going. And he was on his way.
And in that way, it's not like fantasy. Because in fantasy, you never make decisions thinking I'm going to get fired at the end of the year. It's always your team. You're the owner. You're the owner, and you're the person making the moves. And it's also not like fantasy, I guess, in that, like, the reason... Well, I don't know, though, because this used to happen. I mean, LaFontaine got traded for Pierre Turgeon. Like, I was going to say, people... you don't want to like uproot them when you don't think that you're gaining value. You don't just make a trade because you're bored. You don't trade Jack Eichel for Austin Matthews because the two owners are bored, and that can happen in fantasy. Well, I offered Jeremy a trade yesterday that he thought about, Joe Mixon for Nick Chubb. Why? Because hey, they're kind of similar in value. I'm making it for a different reason, but why would he make it? It's a coin flip, and it's a change. Like, it's fun. It's different, and that doesn't make sense to me in real sports where that would happen.
I'm in a baseball league where the other guy, another guy and I, last offseason, traded our entire teams for each other. I wanted to play with his team, and okay, he wanted to play with mine, so we just traded everybody for everybody.
Yeah. And in that aspect doesn't exist if you're going to trade Jack Eichel.
The Colts and the Rams did it a long time ago, but yes. I know what you mean. Yes.
They did? Yeah, how long ago?
Early 70s. They swapped owners. They traded, okay, they traded teams.
They traded teams. They didn't trade rosters. They just traded, they traded their whole
teams. I own the Colts. You own the Rams. Okay. Let's switch. Wasn't that right? Rosenblum?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, Irsay goes back a long time, but I don't know. But I think Irsay and Rosenblum. Rosenblum owned the Colts when, check me on this, because I don't know if I'm right. Rosenblum owned the Colts in Super Bowl III. And then he and Shula had a falling out, and he traded or sold Shula to Miami. And then they were in the Super Bowl like the next year. And they were good, and the Colts weren't. That's my version of it.
Yep, completed a historic tax-free swapping of teams with new L.A. Rams owner Robert Irsay.
Yep. So
1972.
So the Braves, too. The Braves had that. Buffalo Braves. Trading franchises. Celtics? Braves and Celtics?
That's
John
right.
Y. Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's happened in fantasy. That's happened in both.
Want to trade franchises and hopes and dreams?
No. But I, you know,
worth a shot.
I've talked about that idea with one other guy in the league before, with you. Like, his team is, this other guy's team is almost, yeah, I would trade my everything for his everything. Not quite. Plus, it's not really in the spirit of the league to do that. You could do it, but it's really not in the spirit of the league so much. I didn't want to, part of the dynasty challenge is to build what you're building and keep doing it. And that would be sort of starting over or giving up on that. You could. Anyway, Joe and his brother, Louis, stirring things up on Twitter, and they love to do it. And I hate to do it. So I'm sort of looking through the glass here to Joe, like a little bit jealous, a little bit worried for him, a little bit, what? Proud?
Envious?
Yes.
I'm enjoying it. I do
love
it.
Yes, you love it. Yeah. Yeah, good for you. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
I mean, look, we were a playoff team a year ago, and it wasn't backdooring into the playoffs because the Bengals pulled off a miracle to beat the Ravens. This was a legitimate playoff team all year long. It may have been a surprise to some people who didn't buy into what Brandon Bean, you know, was putting together here. It wasn't a shocker, in my opinion. So to be leading a playoff game this past season at the half, and to essentially bring everyone back, and not only that, add one of the top 10 playmakers in the league, you know, to me, again, it's playoffs or bust.
Kevin Connors, ESPN on One Bills Live today. Felt like a build-up to this team will be good, and then it was the person sort of begged off to playoffs or bust. Like, what does that mean? What does playoffs or bust mean? What does bust? Tell me what bust means. What is bust?
Bust to me means everybody is fired, and
yeah,
I don't think
there's
it's playoffs
no way.
Or bust.
No way. Does it mean we should want the playoffs? Yes.
Maybe for Josh Allen.
What is it? I was sort of, okay, where, how does this end? And then it was like, well, maybe there was more to it.
I could see it being playoffs or bust for Josh Allen, but I wouldn't say that about the Bills in general.
I think it's more than
just playoffs for him. But
yes, there are all kinds of seasons that are possible where he would not be out and that the team could miss the playoffs. I mean, there's seasons like that.
Didn't the Bears almost make the playoffs last season?
Last season?
Yeah, what was their record last year? If they had made it with the season Trubisky had, I think they would think the same way, and I would think the same way about Trubisky. They were 8-8.
Wow, yeah, I guess I thought they were worse than that.
Minus 18. Yeah, 8-8. So they were in it with a couple weeks to go. So if they had backed in,
so that's
are they still trading for Nick Foles? Because I think they are.
That's to your point, is like that isn't even that bad of a record.
No.
And he's almost already out.
Right.
I mean, playoffs are bust, though. Like, what does that even mean? I don't know. It seems like a way to stop talking. I've done it. I've done it probably every day of my career. I just got to stop talking now. I don't really have a big finish here. I'm just going to stop talking. We usually do drafts on Fridays, but Bulldog is not here this week. He won't be here next Friday either. In other times on Fridays, we've had Fantasy Friday. That would be a guest or a topic or something like that. I think it'd be fun, Joe, for you and I to draft, like to mock draft a league or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know quite how to do it. I don't need to do it if it's not right. Like we could just talk like we're doing. But if you wanted to do a draft, I could set it up in here and we could pull it off. Like we just pick, we'd do two teams in a 12-team league and pretend, like not a real league, just pretend a like a mock draft. And we could pick draft order at random, draft position at random, or you could tell me where you want to go, anything like that. And so the computer would pick 10 of the 12 picks in each round, and you and I would pick the others.
I'm definitely in for that. I would prefer maybe we're, you know, different, separated apart to see how the teams come out differently in terms of draft order. But, yeah, I'm down. I don't have a specific place I want to pick.
Is it best if we're separated? All right, that's fine. I can make sure of that. I'll just, if it's not, do random, and if it's not separated, I'll just do random again.
That would entice me to want to draft differently than I normally do, maybe, or than you are, to see how it comes out at the end.
That's an important thing to do if you're really into this.
Yep.
Do you probably won't be able to follow along with mine. I'll just have to tell you.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier, like sites where you can do that, but there are sites where you can mock draft on your own, and there are sites where you can do it online, I guess.
Can you find one? And then I'll just sign up.
Well, what I was going to say is I don't know of one where you can have multiple people in it, and it's also the computer doing the rest.
All right, we'll figure it out here in the next few minutes. But we'll do some drafting. It's Friday, and it's Fantasy Friday, and it'll be fun. So join us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sneaky Joe DiBiase as well. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.